أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحج أشهر معلومات. وقال وعن أبي بكرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال في خطبته يوم النحر بمنى في حجة الوداع: إن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم عليكم حرام، كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا، ألا هل بلغت. متفق عليه. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers, ulama kiram, once again we find ourselves in the Mubarak, the blessed month of Dhul-Hijjah. And the days of Hajj, the Mubarak days of Hajj, have just left us. A few days have passed after this. If we have to go back 1400 years, we find that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated to Medina Munawwara, and after Hajj had become fard, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had only performed one Hajj in his life. And this Hajj was towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama explain that from the day of Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away 81 days after the day of Arafah. And likewise, if a person is to perform Hajj even in our time, a person only has one opportunity to perform a fard Hajj. No matter how many Hajj he performs after this, this will be nafil. The reward of the fard Hajj, he will only get on one opportunity in his life. And this Hajj with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed was at the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Soon after this, barely 2 months after this, the light of Nubuwa, the chain of Nubuwa, the nur of Nubuwa was to come to an end until the day of Qiyamah. Jibreel alayhi salam was never going to come down again until the day of Qiyamah with wahi, with Quran, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during this Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum on various occasions at various different places, in Mina, in Arafat, in Makkah Mukarramah. And he had conveyed many lessons, many teachings to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it was obvious that all the teachings which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conveyed to Sahaba radiallahu anhum over the past 23 years couldn't have been conveyed during these few days. So this occasion was very, very important. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only chose the most pertinent advices, the most important advices, because this time was never to come again when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is surrounded by thousands of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. According to some narrations, there were more than 100,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum performing Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already informed them that this might be. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses the word might, something might happen, Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood that this was definitely going to come to pass, that this was the last Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَعَلِّي لَا أَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to them that perhaps this is our last meeting at this place. Perhaps we may not meet again in this place as we are meeting this year. So every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this occasion of Hajj is worth inscribing in our hearts, is worth practicing upon, bringing into our lives. So in this few minutes we have, we will mention a few points, a few lessons which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had imparted to the Ummah, to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the few advices which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given in these days. And these days, the days after Hajjatul Wada', the Sahaba radiallahu anhum took these messages, these advices and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to the four corners of the globe, wherever they had come from. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advised them towards the end of the Hajj that whatever teachings he had conveyed to them, they should memorize it and they should go back to their hometowns, convey this to their neighbors, their families, their friends, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So during these days, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were mentioning these same lessons which we will be make mention of. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions in one hadith, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطب الناس يوم النحر. That on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Eid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum. On this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting on his camel, Qaswa, and he addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all surrounded him. Ulama mentioned that he was sitting on a camel. He sat on an animal so that Sahaba radiallahu anhum could witness, could see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it was not difficult for them to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this address was very unique. This khutbah was very unique. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam began this khutbah by asking three questions. So first he inquired from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, فقال يا أيها الناس أي يوم هذا. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that do you know what day is this? Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied in the affirmative. قالوا يوم حرام. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on with a further question, فأي بلد هذا. And what land is this? Are you aware what land are we in? قالوا بلد حرام. Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied in the affirmative that this land is a very blessed land, the land of Makkah Mukarramah, the surrounding lands, Mina, Arafat. These are very blessed lands. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on and asked a third question, فَأَيُّ شَهْرٍ هَذَا. And what month are we in? Sahaba radiallahu anhum again replied with the same answer, قَالُوا شَهْرٌ حَرَامٌ. That the month which we are in, which we are witnessing, is also a very sacred month in sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama explained that even before the advent of Nubuwa, before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quraysh, the Arabs, although they were steeped in jahiliyyah, in ignorance and darkness, but they understood the significance of these 4 months. In these 4 months, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given special significance to, even warfare, jihad is not permissible. There are special ahkam related to these months. Dhul-Hijjah is one of these 4 months. So they understood the importance of these 4 months. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is building up this anticipation in Sahaba radiallahu anhum that this advice that is to come is a very important advice. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted this fact that we are in a sacred place, the land is sacred, the day is sacred, the month is sacred, this is three sacredness, three sanctities combined. In this time, in this place, if someone has to commit a sin, then how severe isn't the sin? To understand this, if a person has to commit some sin in the privacy of his home, no one is aware of it, then this is indeed severe, it is very evil. He is going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the same sin has to be committed in a masjid, then how much worse isn't the sin? Because he is violating the sanctity of the masjid. And then if he has to commit the same sin in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, and not just in Makkah or Medina Munawwara, but he has to commit the sin in front of the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in front of the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not on any day, on the 27th night of Ramadan, then how many sanctities isn't he violating? The sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sanctity of the land of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how severe isn't this? This is sacredness and sanctity combined. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing the attention of Sahaba radiallahu anhum that this message which is to come is very important. And once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted how important this message is, then he carried on, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. So if you have to picture the scene, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is surrounded by tens of thousands of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or more than 100,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is their final meeting. Many of them will not meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. This is the final time when they are hearing the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, benefiting directly from the words of Nubuwa from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving them this advice to take back to their countries, to all the Sahaba, to all those who couldn't make it to perform Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what advice does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give them? That your life, your wealth and your honor is sacred and sanctified in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person's life, wealth and honor is sacred and sanctified upon every single person. And how sacred, how sanctified is it? كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. The sanctity of each person's life, wealth and honor is more sacred than this land, than this day and this month. The sanctity of every person's life, wealth and honor is more sacred in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sanctity of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, of the land of Makkah Mukarramah, Mina, Arafat, than the day of Eid, the days of the day of Eid and the days of Hajj. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us this important advice. Once while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tawaf, he was going around the Kaaba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Kaaba. The Kaaba is a piece of stone, you cannot hear. But this was advice to you and me, to every ummati until the day of Qiyamah. And how wonderful wasn't the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ma atyabak wa atyab rihak. So he's addressing the Kaaba, that how wonderful aren't you? How wonderful, how fragrant isn't your fragrance? Ma a'azamak wa a'azama hurmatak. How wonderful isn't your greatness? How great aren't you? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues addressing the Kaaba. Walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hurmatul mu'mini a'azamu inda Allahi hurmatan mink maluhu wa damuhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned that the sanctity, the sacredness which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every believer is greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sanctity of the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know how great, how sanctified the Kaaba is. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, more sanctified than the Kaaba, greater than the sanctity of the Kaaba, greater than the sanctity of the days of Hajj, which are the greatest days in the year, greater than the sanctity of the month of Hajj, the lands of Makkah Mukarramah, the lands of Hajj, is the sanctity of the honor, the wealth, and the life of every believer. But if we have to come to our time, our era, our communities, what sanctity is left of a believer? Everything is fair play, nothing is out of bounds, irrespective of someone being guilty or not. His reputation is shredded. It doesn't matter, we do as we please. And if a person is poor, he has less than us, he is destitute, then we can address him in any way we want. We treat him however we wish. Those who are under us, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some control over, our employees, our wives, our families, then we know that they are, how desperate they are for this job, that our wives, our families, our children, they have nowhere else to go to. So how do we treat these people? Our employee has nowhere else to go to, he has no other employment. So no matter how we treat him, he will hold on to his job. So how do we treat him? How do we address him? This is the emphasis which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given, that beware how you use your tongue. فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ. The wealth, the honor and the sanctity, the sacredness of every believer, the honor of every believer is extremely sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many a times emphasized this point during the days of Hajj. On one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَلَا لَا تَظْلِمُوا أَلَا لَا تَظْلِمُوا أَلَا لَا تَظْلِمُوا. Thrice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this, be aware, don't ever commit oppression. Be aware, never commit oppression. Be aware, don't ever oppress anyone. Oppression is a very vast term. It contained many things can fall under this term oppression. But on this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to a specific type of oppression. إِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ مَالُ امْرِئٍ إِلَّا بِطِيبِ نَفْسٍ مِّنْهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the wealth of every person is sanctified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not permissible except if a person gives it, a person lets it depart from him with complete happiness, and he doesn't do so under force. Sometimes a transaction might technically be permissible. Ijab and qabul is found. There is an offer made, the offer is accepted. But if we have to dig deeper, and we are well aware that what situation, what circumstances this person is faced by, what pressure this person is put under, his conditions might be very bad, he might need this funds for something, so we will squeeze him as much as we can. But what is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لا يحل مال امرئ إلا بطيب نفس منه. That the wealth of a believer is not permissible unless he gives it to you with complete happiness. He doesn't regret in his heart, he holds no grudge in his heart against you, against this transaction, but he happily gives you his wealth. Then only this will be halal for you. Then only will you see barakah in this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated, if a person does such actions, he shreds the honor of a believer, he makes ghibat of someone, speaks bad of someone, he takes someone's wealth without his complete happiness, then what will the result of this be? الظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Every type of oppression will be a means of darkness on the day of Qiyamah. This person will have no light, no nur on the day of Qiyamah to guide him to Jahannam, to Jannat. And because of this darkness, he will fall into the pits of Jahannam. And sometimes this is done in a very brazen manner. A person will have a baby shower, a bridal shower, and every person is forced due to societal pressure to bring some gift. If a person has to not bring a gift, then everyone will look down upon him, everyone will speak bad against him. This is also a type of oppression. A person has to part with his wealth wholeheartedly, very happily. Amr bin Dinar rahimahullah, a very lengthy incident, he mentions that a person from the Bani Israel was once walking on the seashore and he met a person. This person was announcing, walking on the seashore and announcing that don't ever commit oppression, don't ever commit oppression. If anyone wants to commit oppression, take me as a lesson. So he went up to this person and asked him, what is your incident? What is this lesson? So he mentions that once I was a policeman, I had authority, I had power, and I was walking on this very seashore. I came across a fisherman. He had a fish in his hand which he had just caught, and I desired this fish, so I whipped him with my lash on his head. I forcefully took this fish from him and I proceeded home. He says, while he was proceeding, this fish bit his thumb, and with great difficulty, he managed to remove his thumb from the jaws of this fish. So they went home, he cooked this fish, his family ate of this fish, they partook of it. And he says that a few days later, my thumb had to be amputated due to some infection from the bite of this fish. So the thumb was amputated. A short while later, my entire hand had to be amputated. He says after some period, this pain had spread, my upper arm needed to be amputated. So I was walking like a madman, out of this pain, out of fear of losing the rest of my hand, and not knowing how far this will go, how much of my body I will lose. And in this condition, I found shade under a tree and I had taken rest. I fell asleep. In the sleep, I had a dream. And someone called out to me that you are aware what caused this, what put you in this situation. So why don't you make amends for it? So he woke up with a shock. He proceeded to the house of this fisherman. And he addressed this fisherman that I am your slave, so please forgive me. So this fisherman was shocked, he was taken aback, that what do you mean you are my slave? Then he explained this in scenario, how he landed up in this condition. So then this fisherman remembered, and he said that as soon as you had taken the fish from me, I had forgiven you. And immediately this fisherman, he broke down into tears, he raised up his hands, and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no sooner did he start making dua, this person mentions that all the pain in his arm disappeared. The rest of his hand no more needed to be amputated. So he asked this fisherman that what dua did you make? In what words did you curse me when I had stolen your fish from you? So he mentions that I turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I turned my heads up to the heaven and I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That oh Allah, you love justice. You created me, you created this policeman. You had made me weak. You had given him authority over me. You made me subservient to him. So I beseech you, O the one who created me, O the one who created this policeman, to take justice, to mete out justice, and to make this person a lesson to every person until the day of Qiyamah. So he says, the one curse of an oppressed person, this is how much weight it holds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson from this incident was the same lesson of Hajjatul Wada'. Ala la tazlimu, ala la tazlimu, ala la tazlimu. Don't ever commit oppression, no matter what the situation and the condition of the other person may be. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله علي الذات عظيم الصفات سميع السمات كبير الشان جليل القدر رفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزير العلم وسيع الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليمًا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأعلمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل وأفرضهم زيد بن ثابت ولكل أمة أمين وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهرا بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر قال ومن كفر فأمتعه قليلا ثم أضطره إلى عذاب النار وبئس المصير الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم ربنا لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله علانيته وسره. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. سبحان ربي العلي الأعلى الوهاب. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. ربي اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الله الأعز الأكرم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.